This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Okay, thanks very much. A lot of data coming out of these talks. Mine is a little more, going to be a little bit more clinically oriented, and we're going to discuss eversion endarterectomy and the comparison to standard carotid endarterectomy. As you can tell, even today, carotid endarterectomy still has a lot of controversy in terms of its management and the type of surgery that one should do to treat it. There's a low margin of error in terms of doing carotid procedures, whatever it is, whether it's percutaneous or open. But overall, the results are really excellent. And we're really, to some degree, quibbling about tenths of a difference in data points. Randomized trials have validated that carotid intervention is appropriate for treatment of symptomatic and asymptomatic significant stenosis. In terms of the carotid endarterectomy, there have been several surgical approaches that have evolved since first reported. But the choice is often based on one's training. I would wager to say that many of you are basically doing a carotid endarterectomy just as you were trained many years ago. And the type of endarterectomy one does is likely based more on training than any real hardcore data. The most common carotid endarterectomy being done is what we're going to call standard with a longitudinal arteriotomy and patch. Now, what about an eversion endarterectomy? Well, what exactly is that? It's an operation where you aggressively dissect out the carotid. You perform an oblique transection of the internal carotid, remove the plaque using an eversion maneuver, and then directly reattach the internal carotid to the bulb. So this is a schematic of what we're talking about here, where the artery is divided, then the adventitia everted. When the endarterectomy is complete, the arteriotomy in the common carotid is extended, and the artery is anastomosed back to itself in an endocyte manner, sewing adventitia to adventitia. Again, note that the adventitia of the internal carotid is everted over the atherosclerotic core past the endpoint, and it allows close evaluation of the entire circumference of the endpoint. Here's just a different simplistic diagram. When the eversion is reduced, the arteriotomy is extended so that the common carotid can be carefully endarterectomized as well. By reanastomosing the vessels as shown, it allows for widening of both the internal carotid and the common carotid, preserving the carotid configuration, and in a sense, patching both the common carotid and the internal carotid with each other. So why do eversion endarterectomy? Well, proponents of the procedure have stated that there is decreased operating time and clamp time. You avoid placing any kind of prosthetic material in the neck. Certainly, it will facilitate reconstruction of a kinked or coiled internal carotid artery. And there have been reports suggesting that there are decreased rates of restenosis. And perhaps that, to some degree, is the most important factor and the one we'll look at today. If we want to compare it to standard CEA, what are we talking about? Well, there clearly has been evidence that superior results will be obtained by performing a patch angioplasty with primary closure as compared to simply closing the artery without patch. It's also been demonstrated that the type of patch material makes no difference in terms of the outcome. But is eversion endarterectomy really better? Will it reduce stroke risk? And will it decrease the risk of recurrence? Well, some enthusiasm came out in to some degree from several papers, particularly this from the late 90s from Italy, where they compared the standard endarterectomy with patch angioplasty versus eversion endarterectomy. As you can see from their series, they obviously were excellent surgeons in that you can see the mean operating time for an eversion endarterectomy was 31 minutes with a clamp time of 9 minutes. And interestingly, to me at least, their mean occlusion time for shunt placement is 26 seconds. But also you can note that the number of shunts used in their series in the eversion group was quite small. And we'll come back to that later when we talk about should you or can you shunt patients with eversion endarterectomy. But they did have very low, they had very good stroke rate and essentially comparable statistically to the patch group. But their recurrence rate was exceedingly low, essentially zero in the eversion group. And because of this, there began to be some interest in eversion with the suggestion that it is a way to reduce restenosis or recurrent carotid disease. And again, just recently, they've repeated their evaluation now with 1,905 endarterectomies. And again, the stroke risk is very low. The restenosis rate is also under 1%. And that includes carotid occlusion or moderate to severe restenosis. So several randomized trials have come out comparing the two types of endarterectomy. The so-called Everest trial, the eversion carotid endarterectomy versus standard trial, 1,353 patients were randomized. And although they did include patients who had both primary closure and patch angioplasty, if you take out the patients with primary closure, there was really no difference in the outcomes. A systematic review of five randomized trials, again, did not demonstrate any evidence of superiority of one technique over the other. And quickly, in looking at this, these are the five trials that they evaluated, all randomized trials. The only one that included both primary closure and patch was the Everest trial. The rest of them were comparing the standard endarterectomy with patch to eversion endarterectomy. And again, no difference in the outcomes, no difference in stroke rate, or any real statistical difference in either procedure. In the five trials, compiling all the data, the overall risk of stroke or death for eversion endarterectomy was a slightly bit less than patch angioplasty, but not statistically significant. And the risk of restenosis, again, slightly better for eversion, but not statistically significant. Now, what about potential concerns of eversion endarterectomy? I think that some people feel that it can be difficult to visualize the endpoint or that a distal flap could be present, but it might be hard to detect once you've taken down the eversion or so-called reversion of the artery. But again, because the stroke risk in most of these studies is low, I do not think that's an issue. But what about if a shunt is needed? That may be an issue in some cases. The Italian authors did present some data where they showed that they had no problem placing shunts. However, some people do feel that shunting eversion endarterectomies is a bit difficult or cumbersome. And I probably would recommend that if you are doing eversion endarterectomy with selective shunting and you're intraoperative assessment, either with EEG or stump pressure or however you're deciding to shunt or not, indicates that a shunt should be placed, likely you should switch over and do a longitudinal arteriotomy with a patch, because it appears as though most people do feel that it is a little bit difficult to shunt these patients. And in fact, in most of the studies, the rate of shunting was exceedingly low. So one other little issue that seems to come up with patients with eversion endarterectomy is that frequently postoperatively the patient's blood becomes hypertensive. And there is a concern that because of the circumferential dissection required of the internal carotid artery, that the nerves to the carotid baroreceptors are divided. And studies have demonstrated that patients can become hypertensive, even to shorten midterm, from having eversion endarterectomy. And this, in fact, may prolong the hospitalization while treating it. Interestingly, in this study, which was a compared eversion to standard endarterectomy. The standard endarterectomy had a much more common hypotension postoperatively, where the eversion was significantly elevated blood pressures. So that's just something to keep in mind. I think that to some degree, this is an interesting approach and maybe a take-home message for my take on eversion endarterectomy. The Massachusetts General reported their 10-year evaluation of carotid endarterectomy and their follow-up. They reported all carotids done between 1995 and 2005. And beginning in January 2001, they switched over from standard carotid endarterectomy with patch to eversion endarterectomy with the hopes of reducing restenosis rates. This is their follow-up data. So as you can see, there is really no difference in freedom from severe restenosis. And so their take-home, which I think is my take-home from this talk, that the data is consistent with previous randomized trials and indicate restenosis rates are basically similar between eversion endarterectomy and patch endarterectomy. And I agree with their conclusion that surgeons should basically choose the procedure that they're most comfortable with and have the ability to get a good result, that neither of the two procedures will give a superior result just because of the type of procedure. So in conclusion, an eversion endarterectomy is a safe and effective technique. It does allow for shorter clamp time. It does not require a prosthetic in the neck, and it is useful in straightening of the internal carotid artery. But there is no evidence that it affords benefit for reduction of restenosis. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.